pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. I'm drinking scotch. I assume Nathan is drinking rainbows a la bacon.
Oh, yes.
Surprise,
yes.
Surprise. I mean, you know what? If it's anything we are, it's consistent. Mm-hmm. Consistently inconsistent. Someone should write a song about...
don't. If you're thinking about writing a song right now, don't. I mean, at least for the next, I think, 8 or 9 weeks, I haven't counted, but I am busted into my last case now, so we'll see.
Oh, dear sweet Jesus.
Yes, I know. I am thinking a trip to the liquor store to try to see if they got another shipment or if it was a, to quote a term from our founders or our patrons, I guess, a splash release.
That's ridiculous. Well, no, they did have their brands in the Sobeys liquor store last week when I was getting all my bachelor liquor with Maddie Damon. But they did not have the maple bacon. They had all sorts of other flavors.
Mm-hmm.
No maple bacon, but not like I'm going to drink it anyway. So who cares?
It's true. You had it. You're like too bitter. And I was just like, I can't stand scotch.
It was okay. It was okay. Yeah. I mean, I drank half of it. It was a big bottle.
It's true. I am not judging.
You wouldn't do that. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this week in hobby. Obviously, we've been playing a lot of Warhammer 40,000, or at least I have. I played a bunch more with my orcs and my Necrons. I tried to get my guard together, but kind of started getting stuff together, started putting stuff together to maybe get a couple trial games in. I was going to try to make it work and then realized that fucking Grey Knights count as, what is it, unwitting allies or whatever the fuck it is to Imperial Guard. So that if I do take an Inquisitor from Grey Knights and try to put it into my Imperial Guard, he can't join those squads and he can't cast his brain magic on them. Which pisses me off! It made me so upset. Like, I get that it's Grey Knights and they're probably talking more about Grey Knights. Like, that I can understand. I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense at all. What I'm saying is, fuck that. Like, if you're gonna do that to Demon Hunters so that we can't take Inquisitors anymore without them being like, I don't know about these guard. I'd cast a brain magic power on them, but I can't trust these motherfuckers as far as I can throw them, you know, despite what all of the fiction says.
Yeah, no doubt. It really feels like some of that allies chart was really well thought out and some of that allies chart was just absolutely phoned in where they were just like, well, I don't know, just pick something.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it for a long time. I didn't have a problem with it. But the only reason why I didn't have a problem with it was because I assumed that was one of those no-brainers where it's just like, oh, guard? Yeah, they go with every Imperial army. Like, there might be one or two then in the fluff. They don't particularly like the guard, but they should basically be going with Space Marines and every version of Space Marines and every version of Imperial armies, right? But for some reason, Grey Knights, they're just like, can't trust those motherfuckers. So I'll probably be instead using that Inquisitor and or proxying that Inquisitor as like a Space Marine librarian and then just, I don't know, do Stormtroopers as scouts? Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and even, like, the worst thing is because, I mean, you know, in the fluff, you know, Traitor Guard and all that, Guard are only allies of convenience with the forces of chaos.
Yeah.
And you're just like, really, what? Guys? I mean, you missed, like, realistically, again, as you said, Guard are like that fucking Band-Aid. Like, they really should go with everyone, because you have Traitor Guard, you have Gene Stealer Cults, you have Loyal Guard on occasion.
Oh, what are they called? The Tau ones.
Tau
conscripts.
Guvesa. Human auxiliaries. Again, they're allies of convenience with Tau, you know. And really, the only one with guard that is, you know, come the apocalypse is Tyranids.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, okay, I get that, because they screwed Tyranids and said they can't have anything. But yeah, you're totally right. Like, it's so weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're doing it for balance, but obviously...
Because apparently Dark Eldar... Dark Eldar would ally with Guard. They are desperate allies.
Absolutely. Why the hell not, right?
Unlike Tyranids, who in the fluff actually, you know.
Yes.
Fuck them.
So I played my orcs. I use my transports a little bit more toward the capacity that transports should be used in this edition, and was quite happy with it, with the trucks. I was using them basically as just big mobile explodey barricades, and then obviously just like auto-passing pinning checks when they jump out of the open-topped and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if they didn't completely wreck it to the point where it had to leave the board, I mean, basically you can just get out on the other side of this massive truck, which, as your wife pointed out, I have modeled for advantage.
Well, I mean, again, we have stated multiple times, cheating is a requisite to being on the podcast.
That's true.
That is why John Wong was allowed.
Damn fucking Ryan. Matt cheats all the time. But no, I mean, absolutely. It was just like, I really did kind of like this idea of, no. Yeah, if I just kind of reserve the fact that I'm not going to charge till turn two and I'm going to give him a free round of shooting on me, and I kind of plan for that, it's really not so bad. It's really not all that crazy to try to do. And the trucks become these kind of weird disposable barricades. You know, if they don't get blown up, then you can still drive them all over the board or tank shock or do all sorts of crazy crap with them if you give them the ram or whatever the fuck it's called. You know, like it's very interesting to be able to play this list with that huge change to the way that I'm assaulting with them kind of out there on the table. And last week we said that the only one with like assault vehicles was Orcs and Dark Eldar, but Space Marines, the Land Raider does count as an assault vehicle, so we didn't miss that one.
Well, no, see, you said open topped.
Oh, was it open topped assault vehicles? That is what I said.
Yes. well, therefore, fuck you.
I'm never wrong. It's so, did you play more 40K?
No, I've actually this week my job exploded into a clusterfuck of shit. So, unlike my usual like 6.5 hours of surfing the internet, I was putting in like 10, 12, 14 hour days.
Well, I absolutely did not have it. Absolutely noticed that was the case because you ceased replying to my very important corporate questions about who would you pick in the zombie apocalypse scenario if you had to pick three people. And you made the worst, like, okay, SEMO, I'll give you SEMO, but Batman and Felicia Day were the worst picks you could make. Listen, I think the best part about that was when I replied to you and I was just like, listen, you're clearly picking Felicia Day because you want to fuck her. And that's totally acceptable.
Obviously.
That's totally acceptable. But you picked Batman. In an apocalypse, she's not trying to fuck you. She's trying to fuck Bruce Wayne. And I got no reply from you, and I was just like, ha!
See, it's funny because, I came back at like 6 o'clock at night and saw that, and I was like, well, shit, I get, you know, especially with your follow-up of, see, I win! And I was like, well, I guess at this point, there's really no point in arguing. You're not even there.
good times.
Although Terry and I, you know what, I'll save it for next week. I'll email it. I think it'll be hilarious.
All right, why not? All right, so... Let's get into the main topic for today's show. I know that some people have kind of started asking about specific armies and emails. We did get an email specifically about from Bearded Dan. I'll read this real quick. He said, Jaded Gamers, I've only been listening to you guys since about episode 77 or so, but you have quickly become the highlight of my background noise when painting. And you know what? That's all we can really hope for.
You know, my wife calls me background noise all the time. So, I mean, really, that's it's like we're married now, Dan, is what I'm saying.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. And Nathan likes beards, so I guess it works out.
Hey, there we go.
He says, I was very glad to find out about Maple Bacon Ale. Unfortunately, no place here in St. Louis has it in stock yet. He's been on a spice rum and cedar kick, but I generally don't drink while listening since I am painting or modeling, and I prefer not to bleed to death. Pussy? What? No.
You know, I was gonna throw it out there, but I was literally drinking as you said pussy, and I was like, fuck, I missed it.
Well, we know who's catching in this relationship between Dan and Nathan. No, I'm just fucking with you, Dan. Thank you very much for sending an email. What kind of scotch do you recommend? I've said it before, I like Glenfiddich, I like Old Pultini. Macallan is a good scotch for people who want to start out. I would say start in there. I like it with ice, but I find Glenfiddich is one of the ones that I tend to drink without it, but not on hot fucking days like this, I'll tell you that much. He says, lastly, I'm sure you guys will get to it, but do you have any thoughts on the Dark Eldar this edition? He adds about a couple other things, just questions about various tactics and items and stuff like that. He says, thanks for the laughs. I look forward to listening next week, Bearded Dan. We will get to that stuff, Dan. Next week, very likely, we will be starting into a Fetish Marine Bonanza, where we just basically talk about the Fetish Marine chapters. It'll be like a huge higher learning regarding how it's going to affect Marines in general in this edition, because it's hard for us to break down higher learning and start with like Blood Angels, because we always do it alphabetically if anyone's paying attention. even though we know that a lot
of... Oh, great, they broke the code.
They broke the code, yes. It's alphabetical. So we start with Blood Angels and Black Templars and all this kind of stuff's like right in that area. And you basically end up saying a lot of the same stuff over again. So what we're going to do is we're going to condense that all into one episode talking specifically about Space Marines. After that, we will start going through 40K armies one at a time and just talking about how they are affected by 6th edition. So stay tuned. But today, skipping past this email... We are going to talk about brain magic. Yay, brain magic. Brain. I love it. What do you think, Nathan?
I'm very on the fence with it because I find that unlike fantasy, where you can roll up shit tons of spells and get the ones that you want, most psychers are rolling one or two. And there's such a wide, like fantasy, there's such a wide variety of very, very awesome and very fucking worthless kinds of spells.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm just like, in a lot of cases, I know in my army, you know, with my Tyranids, I'm sticking with my rule book ones because I'm just like, they're dependable. I know what I have. I know when it's useful.
Yes.
And my ballistic skill zero Broodlord is not going to roll up a Witchfire ability that he cannot cast.
No, you know, that's absolutely true.
So, but on the other hand, there are some fucking amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent. I mean, it's talking about it from that perspective doesn't make me not like it. I feel like you have to start looking at psychic powers a lot differently now. I think if you're talking about like a level one psyker, you just need to focus on the Primaris power and stick to the Primaris power that's going to work best for you. We talk about this all the time in fantasy. We talk about picking the signature spell that's going to work best for you, really building your army around signature spells and making sure that you're using them appropriately. So it's not going to be any different here. You've got stuff like Flame Breath and Smite and things of that nature that are all going to be really good Primaris powers. So when you start talking about taking a level 2 and using a level 2, I think what you need to start looking at is which Primaris power are you going to take and what's that just random, who knows, could be good, could be crap spell that you're going to get, right? And start building around that. If you hear a lot of noise, it's because it just started raining like crazy around me. it's fireworks over where Nathan is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's raining like shit where you are. A fireworks show is going to start in about 10 minutes where I am. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode.
Well, I mean, as long as it doesn't start hailing golf balls like it did last week, we should be just fine. And hopefully it passes relatively soon. I know there's a lot of people outside like having a fire and like sitting in a jacuzzi. And right now they're just getting hosed, which is phenomenal. okay, but this is kind of what I'm getting at with psychic powers. A, we called it. This was one of the many things we said is standardized psychic powers for every army. We see it here. Every single army has access to it. If you're an army like Necrons or Demons or Black Templars, like there are certain guys who just aren't going to use it because the fluff doesn't have them using it. You kind of look at them sort of like dwarves, but you know less good in the magic phase. Or in the brain magic phase, I should say.
Yes.
But for the most part, everyone has access to it, which is really nice. And it does make you look at some of those psychic units a little bit differently just for the fact. And I said this two episodes ago. You know, I really feel like people are going to be taking advantage of this because a librarian was kind of a no-brainer beforehand. And now mm-hmm. the idea of possibly taking two of them, because I know a lot of people aren't as happy with chaplains anymore now that they're all stuck with force or power mauls. You know, a lot of people I feel are going to be taking... two level two librarians with psychic powers from the same brain magic lore mm-hmm. so that you can get as many of those spells as possible and hopefully get the really good ones.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right.
Take a shot.
Hey, like I said, if you're going to play this game, you must call EMS first because within 20 minutes, you will be suffering from alcohol poisoning. They will be there to help. But at that point you are kind of treating it like fantasy though, because you know you're taking the two wizards and you're trying to double up your chances to get the lore and you're doubling up your Primaris power. Sorry, I'm just leaning over to see what they called it here. Your signature spell.
Yes.
And that's really all you're doing. Now, is taking two librarians a bad idea? Fuck no. I think that a lot of these abilities are really, really powerful. And you have to remember that a level 2 librarian can pretty much cast anything, because I haven't seen a Warp Charge 3 requirements.
No. No, nothing
or
like that.
Anything. Nope. So an epistolary is able to cast everything. But with that being said, what I am curious about, which I have not seen a mention of in any FAQ, is are you able to mix and match? So, for example, my Hive Tyrant and any epistolary librarian knows two abilities. Am I able to say, I want this Primaris power, but I also want to keep this one out of my own book? Because I think that's going to help generate a whole lot more flexibility if it's allowed. So, I'd love to...
That was in the rule book that it said you can either use what's in your book or you can choose to roll up randomly for the lores, not mix and match. My understanding is you can't mix and match, if I recall correctly.
See, skimming through. I'm not. I'm drinking and I'm podcasting. I'm not going to sit here and dead air it so I can read. Skimming. I've listened to podcasts like that. It's the reason I don't like podcasts.
People don't know how to edit, but anyways.
Yay. We don't believe in editing.
You barely like our podcast.
I do barely like it. Look, I'm going to say, like, there's probably been, what, 5-6 episodes that I've missed, you know, because life gets in the way.
More than that.
I've only ever listened to, like, 2 or 3 of them. Like, I'm just like, eh, whatever. Good enough.
I was going to say, I think it's closer to 10 episodes.
I know you've only missed one, which, whatever. But, like I said, skimming through... You know, it's really only kind of referring to that sort of move forward thing, which was something we discussed on the Facebook page with flak missiles, where it's just like the rule book is written in such a way that right now it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but in a couple of years it totally will. Because it says that in some cases it'll tell you which power, you know, your codex will say which power you get. Otherwise, you roll randomly on the table.
Right.
And I know that my Tyranid FAQ says that if I know a psychic power, like for as many psychic powers as that model knows, I roll 4.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Broodlord that knows 2, he rolls 2.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, like I said, I'm just not sure if you're allowed to do the mix and match, because I think if you are, that's where you're going to see a lot of people doubling up librarians.
Yeah.
Specifically librarians, because everyone can look at it and say, okay, I want the you reroll invuln saves, and I'm going to take divination. And I don't know if Space Marines can, because, hey, it's not in the rule book.
Unless you bought the cards. Woo! Actually, it is in the FAQs.
Yeah, well, see, I do know that it is in the FAQs. It's still kind of silly.
It's stupid.
But I don't have the FAQs up in front of me, and they're not in the rule book.
Well, and again, going back to what you said, I'm sure they're doing it in such a way where that might change in the future. They might say that these guys actually don't have access to that particular spell lore, or they have access to this particular spell lore, but they only have access to these 2 or 3 spells in this spell lore. I think that's what we're going to see with Tyranids. It's going to say they have access to these, but you get to reroll on Witchfire, or just in the new book, they'll actually give your Hive Tyrant a ballistic skill, which would only make some sense.
Well, Broodlord. Because that's the other thing, is I actually think, you know, if you run through the list of all of the psychers, I think the Broodlord is the only psyker in the game with a ballistic skill of 0.
Well, there you go.
And when you flip through all of them, there's a fuck ton of Witchfire. So you're always just like, aha, Broodlord will stick to his.
A lot of it. Thanks. All right. So, okay. Which one's your favorite right now? Just kind of off the top of your head. What do you like?
Now, which lore in total or which Primaris power? Because they are different.
Which lore in total?
For my Tyranids, I think Biomancy works great because, I mean, the Witchfires in Biomancy are whatever, take them or leave them, but it's when you start looking at blessings and when you also consider the models in my army that are able to take psychic powers. So like a Hive Tyrant, for example, when you look at Iron Arm, getting plus D3 strength and toughness, that's despicable because I'm basically on a 3+.
Yeah, lightning.
Good old thunder.
Watch this, the power goes out.
You know, I was going to say, though, that for a second, like, the thunder sounds really weird over the podcast. You'll have to listen to this part.
Okay.
But anyway, like, because again, you know, when you look at Iron Arm on a Hive Tyrant, on a 3+, he's immune to anything strength 4 and under. So bolters, marines in close combat without a power fist. So, I mean, it's just like, you look at that, and it's just, it's phenomenal. Enfeeble, which is able to do a -1 penalty to both strength and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, huge. So that's the kind of things that I really like Biomancy for. With my Tyranids, is I feel that it adds a whole lot of awesome abilities to my list. Mm-hmm. With that being said, the three Witchfire powers, meh, take them or leave them.
Yeah.
No, and I absolutely agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, when it comes to just the stuff in general, which I think that the majority of armies are going to look at and say, oh, you know, I'm going to get some use out of that. I'm actually going to be able to use it. I feel like Biomancy comes out on top, and outside of that, Telepathy also comes out on top. I know a lot of people really like Divination, just for the sheer weight of blessings that you get out of Divination. On top of that, a Malediction. Like, it's one of those things where you can look at Divination as a lore and say, yeah, pretty much anything I roll up, I'm happy with.
Yes.
But for the most part, with that being said, I'm not particularly fond of the Primaris power. Oh, here comes more lightning.
Dude.
Let down.
That's what she said.
Boom! I faked my orgasm. But really, I mean, it's just, I do feel like, yeah, Telepathy comes out on top and Biomancy come out on top. And the real reason for that is I love Psychic Shriek and I like, yes, Smite. I feel like having an AP2 Assault 4 weapon, you know, is really, really good for anybody who's going to be running like an Assault Librarian or something like that, where they're going to be coming out of a Land Raider or something, well, or coming out of a drop pod. That can be really, really devastating considering the fact that, you know, that AP2... it really, really is making a difference now in this edition because of the fact that power weapons are all AP3 now, you know, so you can't depend on just popping out of there with your force weapon and cutting those Terminators down. Like, you're going to have to whittle them down a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a shot. Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Take a shot. Woo! see, and that's the thing is again, for my Tyranids, the reason why I'm kind of meh on Biomancy, you know, with Smite, is I'm Ballistic Skill 3. So I'm always like, I'm missing half the time.
Yep.
But all of your Librarians, you know, any Marine is Ballistic Skill 4 unless he's, yep, a Scout. You know, so it's just like, if you can get Ballistic Skill 4, 5 Psyker, you know, if you have a Ballistic Skill 5 Psyker with access to Biomancy, take it. Straight up. Like, you're just like, you know, to me, it's not even a contest for exactly the reason that you said, is you get the, you know, Assault 4, Strength 4, AP2. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to hit all four times, that's two Terminators.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, and again, that's a really, really powerful thing. Because I remember in my last game against John, against his Dark Eldar, my Tyrant was down to two wounds because of his Dark Lance shooting. And then his witches charged in, and he put on two wounds with his Agonizer, and I reached for my model, I picked him up to pull him off, and John's like, it's only AP3 now, and I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. Made both saves, bounced everything coming from the unit, killed three, ran them down. And I was like, that shit is crazy. Like, well, absolutely, yeah, fucking crazy that a 2+ save, because again, in 5th edition, a 2+ was nothing. You laughed at a 2+ save. Mm-hmm. It really didn't do much.
It was just expensive, and it just wasn't worth it. Especially, yeah, on a character like that, on a monstrous creature. We said all the time in the monstrous creature episode, just about the fact that they just don't have the staying power considering what they're up against every single time they go into a fight. So half the time with a monstrous creature, you know, the majority of units that are also combat units out there who are going to hit you before you get into, you know, his real soft shit, they're going to melt you. You know, it's just, it's not going to do what it needs to do. Now it's just monstrous creatures are that much better, which, you know, is very nice. Again, we were right about that too.
Yeah,
why don't,
absolutely,
be wrong.
Yeah, hey, and if we are wrong, keep it to yourself. You know what? Fuck you. We're going to stay on this whole, like, internet suits.
If there's anything we've learned,
ooh,
it's the people
the
who listen to this
started.
Show.
Can you hear it?
All I can hear is rain. This is going to be an exceptionally background noisy episode of Jaded Gamercast. But no, I can't hear the fireworks over the sound of the rain.
Well then, I guess we'll just stick with it.
The biggest letdown in all of this is Pyromancy. As far as I'm concerned, there's really only one or two spells in here that are worth anything. The rest of it's kind of meh all across the board. You know, you get a Melta, but just buy him a fucking combi Melta. Like, it's just, you know, the stuff that you get out of this.
Oh, yeah, you know, especially for two warp charges. Like, that's the thing is, like, he can fucking cast two different abilities or one Melta gun. And you're like, really?
Buy a Melta.
Yeah, buy a combi Melta. Sure, it's only one shot, but that's really the only time you're in Melta rage. Because, yeah, again, with Pyromancy, Fiery Form is amazing. Flame, you know, the Primaris, big deal. It's a heavy flamer.
Yeah.
Fire Shield is pretty okay, giving you a 4+ cover save. Again, you can't go wrong with anything like that.
So, I mean, Soul Blaze isn't awful. I don't particularly like Soul Blaze, but I mean, again, it's not awful.
And yeah.
Even the Melta, yes, it is a beam, so it's better than a fucking Kami Melta, but still, it's just, it seems a little bit lackluster to me when you do have a lot of other really good ones going for you. Again, like I said, my favorite is Telepathy. I feel like there's really only one spell in here that you're walking away from going, I wish I hadn't rolled it.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely. I think that the Primaris power for Telepathy is the best in the game. And that's why I asked the question when you said, which is the best? And I was just like, well, yeah, the best lore as a whole, Biomancy for my Tyranids. Because I haven't actually played a game of sixth with anything else.
surprise, surprise.
I'm such a battered wife.
Yeah, you kept saying, like, I'm getting rid of it. We're not going to do
this.
No.
Hey, listen. Like, yeah, right. I am absolutely eBaying my old Tyranids. I hate the way they're painted. But until I've painted my new army, I'm totally just proxying the shit out of my old one.
Yeah, I dumped that bitch. I started dating his brother.
And that's exactly what it is this is the white trash fucking
my
love
last
triangle.
Husband's name was Tyrese. His brother's name was Tyrone. Yeah, he still hits me. But I love him.
He's the eighth old man named Ennery.
Wow.
You're welcome to anyone that'll have that stuck in your head now.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, Psychic Shrink, I think of all of the Primaris power, Psychic Shriek is just straight up the best. Because, yeah. You know what? I have taken the Doom of Malentai in 5th edition and in 4th edition, and that whole 3d6 leadership check, and, you know, a guy dies for every point.
Yep.
It's an amazing ability. It's a truly amazing ability because, you know, most times they're going to fail. I mean, every now and then, you know, you always feel ripped off when on the three dice, it's like 1-1-3, and they're like, who cares?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, God, when I played, you know, John Salamanders, the Doom of Malentai came down in a pod, and over the course of, I think, 2 full game turns before John, you know, it was John's second shooting phase, so this would have been 4 of that, everyone in 6 inches, roll 3d6, and, you know, everything you know,
right?
Exactly the same way Telepathy works, the Psychic Shriek. I think the Doom alone killed like 24 Marines out of 40 that were around there.
Killed my Catan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, like, it's just that ability is fantastic.
Yeah.
So no. It's just like being able to have it, and again, hitting on a 3+ or even a 2+, it's amazing. You cannot go wrong.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about each specific army. We'll kind of give our picks on what we think these armies are gonna be using, or kind of what are some of the combinations that you might see with psychic powers. Because I think at least for a while, we are going to see a lot of people trying to fit psychic powers into their list in some way, shape, or form. It is a kind of a new aspect of the game. It's got a lot of cool quirks. It also is giving you a lot of things that are going to help make up for a lot of the drawbacks in your armies. Okay, so Space Marines, obviously, they've got their original powers. The only thing that they don't have access to is divination. We've kind of talked about this. Telepathy, Biomancy really seem like the two winners for Space Marines. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Grey Knights will take Biomancy, specifically before Iron Arm and Endurance, because being able to take multi-wound paladins and giving them will not, you know, it will not die. Is pretty good. Also with pretty good. Yeah, that's an understatement. But also, I mean, you know, you look at things like that, and being able to give relentless to, you know, full units of guys, right? You know, the fact that you could have a fucking dev team walking up the board and then being able to charge. So I mean, I think that Biomancy is a big winner for that. You know, I think combat marines will like Biomancy. Shooting marines will prefer Telepathy, I think, is what it kind of comes down to.
Yeah, I would have to agree there. Okay, so Chaos Space Marines, not much different than Space Marines in this. The only thing that's different there is they can't take Biomancy, so more than likely I would recommend taking Telepathy. I could see somebody wanting to take Telekinesis. I wouldn't say that you're an idiot for taking Telekinesis by any stretch of the imagination. It does have a couple interesting ones in there. I think it really is going to depend on the type of army that you're building, because I think there's a very good chance that you're going to want to skip the Primaris power for Telekinesis and actually go for rolling up some random ones and hoping for the really good ones. Luckily, your psychers are still very good in combat, you know, and stuff like that, so they don't have to depend on their psychic powers. So I guess you could do that, right? It's better than what you had before.
It's, you know, it's true, because honestly, whenever you looked at Chaos Space Marines, the only psychic powers you'd see were Tzeentch-themed armies would take Bolt of Change. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you took Lash of Submission.
And that was it. There's no reason to take anything else. Okay, so Chaos Demons don't have access to anything, neither do the Tau, unfortunately. See, I was really hoping the Tau would have something.
Yeah, but I mean, the Tau and the Fluff, you have to remember, they're psychic blanks. They cannot touch the warp, and they are not felt through the warp, which is why they have no psychers. And it's also why they can't travel through the warp for their ship technology. They're just, you know, better engineers than all of us. So, I mean, I like that. Honestly, I think that because Eldar and Tau are brothers in arms for some fucked reason, you're going to see a lot of Tau players taking Eldar allies just to get a Farseer.
Yeah, by all means. I think who can take Eldar allies is going to be pondering a Farseer.
Well, especially because he has divination.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I pondered a Farseer again as a sub for my Inquisitor. Because they're just like, why not? You know, I got to fucking sub something in. You know what I mean?
And he's a brother in arm, unlike Grey Knights.
Like Grey Knights. Eldar is kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, but I mean, you
know what?
They get
divination and telepathy, which are both good brain magic lores.
Yes. Honestly, I think that, a friend of mine who does have an Eldar army is, you know, kind of the same way that I am with my Tyranid army, where I say, I'm going to stick with what I know. He's kind of that same way with Eldar, but I always say to him, you know, look at divination. Like, divination is so good kind of everywhere, because again, you have no Witchfire, which Farseers don't really want.
Yeah.
So yeah, my Farseer hides in his tank all game.
Yeah. And divination is a really good lore. I mean, you get a pretty good basic power, the ability to reroll when you're talking about the majority of your army being ballistic skill, three or four. That's nice to have. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, foreboding. Good lord, foreboding on an Eldar army would be huge. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's just, I think it does complement the army quite well. I feel like you are going to see people taking one of each. Like you said, the whole idea of mix and matching. Are we going to have one Farseer with, you know, lores out of the book? Are we going to see another Farseer taking one of the lores out of the book?
You know what I'm thinking, though, is I'm thinking you're actually going to end up seeing double Farseer, one being Eldrad, because Eldrad has, four abilities that he trades in? So it does let you have all of divination between the
Very
two
true.
Of them.
And Very
I
true.
Think, or rather, sorry, again, I haven't... okay. I think that's something that you'll see with Eldar players. Maybe if they're really trying to power game and really trying to get the most out of divination, is you'll see Eldrad, you'll see a second Farseer with whatever runes give him a second.
Eldar can't power game. Okay, so
no, that's only because all their shit is really expensive.
That's what it comes down to. Dark Eldar, Sisters of Battle, for some reason, Necrons and Orcs don't have access to psychic powers. Why not? I mean,
really, a weird boy can't take whatever.
Well, see, and that one I kind of had to shake my head on as well, because I get that they're only really going to use their orky shit, and that totally makes perfect sense. And I know we're going to get like a full lore of orc stuff when that book comes out.
Just so that fantasy,
yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's not going to be a huge surprise. It fits with the fluff. They're going to have their own stuff for now. They're just going to use the shit that they have in the book. But really, it would have been nice to see kind of on the card, just like orcs get biomancy. Yeah, you know, like,
yes.
If you're going to give them anything, that's the one you're going to give them. And they kind of walk away going like, but we can apply almost all of these to orcs still, so it would kind of fit.
Well, especially because no one really takes a weird boy, because when you're talking about orcs, the big mech's a no-brainer, if only for the custom force field, and the ability to make a dreadnought scoring,
mm-hmm.
you know, make them troops, make them scoring. And then the other thing that's kind of a no-brainer is a war boss. He lets you call a wah. He makes knobs or biker knobs if he's on a bike. Score, you know, again, troops and therefore scoring. So you're always just like, you never really see weird boys. And I think that by not giving them access to a real lore, you're still not going to see weird boys, because there's no real reason to take them. Unless you're trying to get a boost on Deny the Witch.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to take a weird boy. So if you're going to take an orky Death Star of mega knobs, you might see a weird boy for a Deny the Witch.
Yeah, it's just, it really is. Like you said, you're giving up a lot, you know, then you can't take the mech boy, You know, you can't do all that different kind of stuff with the war bosses or two war bosses in that army. So, you know, definitely I would agree with you there. Really, right now, even if you did give them access to Biomancy, I think a lot of people wouldn't be taking them. All right, so we talked about Tyranids a little bit. I think Imperial Guard are the real wild card here, because honestly, I feel like just about anything applies quite well to the Imperial Guard. I would still kind of put Pyromancy
can
near
Guard
the
take everything?
Everything but Divination.
Oh, okay.
I would still put Pyromancy somewhere near the bottom, but it would be really nice to kind of have that Pyromancy stuff on your Guard characters, like on a Commissar, if you were able to cast it on them. But they also have access to, like, Psyker units, you know? Like, they're able to take, you know, the Primaris Psykers, and they're able to take, you know, some of the other stuff that goes... I can't remember the name of them.
Psyker Battle Squad.
Yeah, the Psyker Battle Squad to go with it. So you really do have more than enough opportunity mm-hmm. to mix and match with Imperial Guard. So I really do feel like they are a wild card. Mm-hmm. They benefit from everything very well. You know, anything where you're getting a reroll or enhanced cover saves or anything along those lines, or, you know, like in Pyromancy, like you said, Wall of Fire, where you're accepting the charge and you get a 4+ cover save on top of that, can be very, very helpful when you start talking about the fact that a lot of those units have access to, like, camo cloaks and things of that nature, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the thing is I think that with Guard, you're going to see, you know, if people take Psyker Battle Squads, they're going to keep taking them, and they're going to keep the Psyker Battle Squad powers simply because they're so good. Like, minus leadership for the number of Psykers I have in the unit.
Right.
You know, it's huge. And it's one of the tricks that, you know, Guard players that make use of Psyker Battle Squads do is they basically just pick a unit, drop it at -8 leadership, and then do 25% casualties because it'll run away,
right?
100% of the time. So I mean, I think if they take Psyker Battle Squads, they're going to keep taking it. But I think what's interesting about rulebook lores is for the first time ever, and I do mean ever, you will actually see people taking Primaris Psykers.
Yeah.
Because before it was always like one of those things where it's just like, God, I mean, I've thought about doing Guard hundreds of times, and I would always look at the Primaris Psyker because I'm just like, man, that's such a coolish, you know, that's a cool model. And I love the idea of it. And then you look at his like lame ass powers and you're just like, pass.
Yeah.
Always pass. But now that he has access to rulebook lores, again, I think you're right. I mean, Pyromancy might actually, kind of help because there's a lot of Witchfire and Nova and beams and things like that. And the Guard army just kind of doesn't really have a whole lot of access to things like that. So I think Pyromancy would be the, like, Guard would kind of be the only army where I would say Pyromancy's pretty good. Cause I mean, a molten beam with Guard or even, more specifically Flame Breath, because remember, with template weapons on an Overwatch, he could pass the psychic check, and now it's a wall of fire at strength 5 because it's a heavy flamer.
Interesting. Yeah, you could go that way.
So again, I think that Pyromancy might benefit Guard, but they're really the only army where I'd say sure, simply because kind of everything else is really short range.
Well, and, you know, Primaris Psyker, what, 60, 70 points?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
pushed.
Why not? You know, I mean, I know a lot of people are going with Commissars instead of Command Squads, you know, so, I mean, you either have two Commissars running around the table or you're just going to put, you know, a Commissar and a Primaris Psyker on the table now. I think we're going to see that quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I think Primaris Psykers are definitely going to be in any Infantry Guard army that makes use of Blob Squads.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for the Deny the Witch boost, because you don't want to have some stupid shit where, you know, you have to shoot at something else. So, you know, it's just like, especially when you're, you know, you've got like a 500-point blob squad, you want to protect your investment, and I think that's where you're going to see Primaris Psykers mostly.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that you got a pretty spot on there. Okay, so that's brain magic for the most part. I mean, there's really not much to talk about right now, and I feel like that's what's kind of interesting about psychic powers is it's kind of a new addition to the game. I think that the armies that we're seeing that gap right now, we're going to see that gap filled. That's what she said, in such a way that it really will be an interesting addition to the game, because obviously we're going to see psychic defense built into a lot of lists. We're going to see a lot of lists built with extended psychic abilities where, you know, like, I have no doubt whatsoever that Eldar Farseers in the new book are going to have some ability that they can purchase, which allows them to pick their spells out of the lore, which is going to make it that much better for you to actually be picking those rulebook lores and working with them. However, kind of as it stands right now, I know I do understand that a lot of people are kind of take it or leave it. You know, I'm not gonna harp on anybody for just avoiding the psychic powers altogether.
Yeah, you know, again, you're absolutely right. See, I'm out of
scotch now. It doesn't really even matter.
Hey, I was going to say, it's for those that watch How I Met Your Mother, it's like the episode where the one character who is a newscaster realized that she was a drinking game.
Yes.
And just said the words over and over and over again.
To the sound of ominous thunder.
Right? Boom.
It's just mood music right now, people.
Hey, but yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think that right now they really are take it or leave it. There's really no compelling argument to say, yes, take it, don't take it. I think you hit it on the head when you said, look at the Primaris powers. If you think that the Primaris power is awesome and you can completely work it into your list, great. Take it in place of your own. But otherwise, there really isn't a lot kind of going for them right now. And I think the biggest reason for that is, unlike fantasy, where you have a level four who's going to know four of seven spells, the biggest psychers right now are level threes. And those are really rare to come by, is guys that'll know three spells. Realistically, you're looking at one or two.
Yep.
And when you're looking at one or two random rolls, you know, it's too much of a crapshoot. And I think that's why people will stay with safe and reliable.
Yeah, and I agree there. I really do feel like it's just not a must. I think that it's going to be interesting to kind of see where the game goes with it, because it is a very clean base for psychic powers, and there's not a lot of variation or craziness. One of the things that somebody had pointed out to me was they said that they were surprised that we didn't see any sort of kind of higher casting level style abilities on these brain power spells. Would have been really nice to see. You know, oh, you get Smite and it's, you know, strength 4 AP 2, but if you cast it at minus 3 leadership, you know, then it's at strength 6 AP 2. Like, it would have been really nice to see that kind of variation and that kind of level of detail put into these spells. The fact that it wasn't there was disappointing.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good idea, because, again, you could always do something where every spell had a warp charge 2 and even 3 boost. Yep. Because that actually would give powerful psychers the decision of, do I want to cast this one big, use all three of my warp charges, or do I want to go little bit?
And somebody might actually fail a brain power attempt.
Hey, yeah, it could happen.
It could happen. You know, most of the time, no.
Yeah, that was my only kind of complaint, is just keeping on the whole, like, oh yeah, it's just a leadership check.
Woo.
But everything's leadership 10.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it was a bit of a missed opportunity, just for the fact that they did keep it as a leadership check. It really did feel kind of dull with the idea that, you know what, any good psyker is still just never, ever, ever failing. You know, but, you know, that's also kind of goes hand in hand with the idea that these aren't really dominating type spells. These aren't huge game changers in any stretch of the imagination. Like you said, even if you are taking two primary psychers, or you're taking special characters or things of that nature, in such a way that you're trying to get as many of those spells in that particular lore into your army so that you get the ones that you really want to make your army good, you know, you're still just going to be working off the fact that you're either playing Space Marines or Eldar. You know, like, it's still just, you're still just going to be using that stuff right then and there, as opposed to, you know, just using the powers out of the book, because they're still good. They're just kind of one-off type things that are, you know, maybe a little bit more effective than what you're actually getting on a random roll.
Yeah, you know, I just wish that either... I don't know. Like, I think you got it, because, again, you know, right now there's really, like, I'll pass everything. I will pass almost every psychic power I ever attempt. Well, unless it's me. I roll a lot of 11s. Like, me personally, it's always just like, oh yeah, I got this. Feel no pain. 11.
Well, honestly,
don't take a wound.
You, I think you rolled a double one in the game that we played, and that honestly was the first failed psychic check.
Well,
I think I've seen,
pass, but it's perils.
Well, yeah, it's perils. But that was the first, like, actual pseudo failure for a psychic check I think I've seen in like 6 years. Like, it happens so rarely that somebody actually fails a psychic check, you know, unless they're guard. That really, it's just, it's kind of goofy, you know. Space Wolves casting psychic power, and, you know, by the end of the game, they've cast 8. They didn't even get even remotely close to failing, so... You know, I'm sure the people who do it all the time say, oh, I fail, it's too...
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly it is. I was going to say, I'm sure Grey Knight players, because they do have units with psychic abilities, and those units are all only leadership, like, 8, I think.
Gasp.
I know, for shame. They're probably like, well, you know, when I cast my 41 psychic powers, I only passed 38 of them. And you're just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, pretty much. I would have to agree with that. Aspect of go fuck yourself when it comes, I'm feeling that a lot with Grey Knights right now, and the fact that Demon Hunters got the shaft so badly. Okay, so let's move on to the stupidity check for this week as we wrap the show up. Nathan, you had a good one. Oof. Apparently.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was actually originally I was going to go with the easy one and go with the Dark Eldar prisoners in Finecast. I was, because, you know...
There are not enough faces or enough palms to adequately express how I feel about that.
You know, it's true, because, again, this is a 14-year-old model, okay? Yeah. It came out in 1998, and it looks it. Like, it is... It's despicable. You look at the faces, you look at the musculature, the abdominals, and they're terrible.
It's like releasing Cruella the Vile in her original glory, her camel-toed glory.
See, I loved that.
I've got dildos for palms. Woo!
Yeah, she had dildos in her palms, and she wore nothing but, like, one belt looped around, like, a D-ring on her belly button. Like, it was hilarious.
Yeah,
it
basically just covered the clit, and that was what it ended on.
The clit and the nipples.
I think the absolute best part of that was that every once in a while, some guy would just come in with his Cruella the Vile model painted up, and he would have painted it with just the strap. Like, everyone else went through and painted that model with, like, a skin-tight, you know, unstable molecules style bodysuit.
Heavy metal painted it with a freaking bodysuit, for fuck's sake. Like, they look at that model, they're like, no.
No, nobody. There was not a single person. But every once in a while, the creepers would come in and literally would just be like, oh, yeah, here's my Cruella the Vile model. That's fucking hot. As Kyle said on the Facebook page, yeah, people would come in and look at those Dark Eldar slave girl and just tell you how awesomely hot that was, that they were slaves and raped regularly. Creepy.
And that's when you were just like, security.
Security, somebody needs to escort. This is a family store. There are kids here. There are kids playing. Okay, but what overdoes that?
What overdoes it is, as I was flipping through to get to the fucking brain powers before we started this.
Brain magic.
I fell onto, brain magic. do you have your rule book with you, Link?
I do.
Page 370.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to flip to said page 370. Ooh, wow, that's...
It's near the back, for sure. So I flipped it open. I hit this page, thank God, because this is hilarious. The top of it, Warhammer 40,000 expansions.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than, like, the whole, you know, fluffy whatever, and then it's, like, the first paragraph is just, like, the Warhammer 40,000 rules are but the tip of the iceberg in a wider hobby. And it goes on, you know, fight massive battles with vast armies on each side or tense squad actions amidst the ruins of an imperial city. Blah, 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 blah. A few paragraphs down, take Spearhead as an example. It focuses on fast-moving, tank-oriented battles.
It should say, someone please, anybody take Spearhead.
If you've not collected many tanks, Spearhead gives you the chance to explore that part of your force because tanks and similar units become so useful. Blah, 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 blah. But what took the cake for me, because I was like, wow, that's kind of lame, is on the opposite page, Spearhead. You flip it. They're like, oh, Cities of Death. Look, we got a picture of the book. You should buy it. Flip the page. Oh, Planet Strike, everybody. No one bought this book. Please? I mean, realistically, Planet Strike flopped so hard, which is why Spearhead was a White Dwarf article instead of a book. Apocalypse? Please? Anybody? Look, we have 2 Apocalypse books. You should buy them both. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, I expect this from the White Dwarf, guys. I really do. And the reason it's my stupidity check is you are you're just coming off as desperate here. You're like the ex-boyfriend that has left 41 messages today alone. You know, it's just like, please, please, just buy Planet Strike. I mean, we've got a warehouse full of the books.
Well, I think the funny thing about it is that disconnect from the community, you know, just to think that this is something to sell, you know, this is something to add 5 pages into the rulebook. And again, I mean, it probably doesn't mean anything to add 5 pages into the book. I don't know if they're really micromanaging, you know, every single page of the book to the point where they're just like, oh my God, it has to, we have to fit this stuff in. Or if they're really just like, yeah, we want it to be bigger than the last one, because then we can charge $90 for it instead of $80, you know?
Yeah.
Put advertisement for Planet Strike in there. That'll take up 2 pages. Done and done.
Well, and the worst part is where this is sandwiched, because if you actually go back to 366.
I refuse. I've put the book down.
Fair enough.
Tell me what's on the page.
It talks about how you can create your own mission. And when you're creating your... No. Again, it's not this. It's not as hilarious as you think, because it's listing you different fucking special rules and how they would work. So unlike, you know, the whole, hey, everybody, and then I get this card and I play this card and then the building explodes and everything and it dies. Like, it, you know, it talks about, hey, do you want a mission with a minefield? This is how a minefield works. You know, hidden setup. This is how it works. And so, again, I think that it's kind of interesting because this sort of back of a 40K rulebook has always, always been very sort of hobbyist community focused. Less tournament gamer and more let's play a campaign. So I'm not going to blame them on that. And I think that's really great. So after you're going through and you're reading this and you're looking at different, you know, ways that you can create your own unique campaign, you get to the please buy our shit. And then when you flip past all of the please buy our shit, it talks about running campaigns and famous campaigns and this is how you can do it. And I'm just like, it's so jarring because they're talking about all this great way that you can add the hobby to your games and make it not be a tournament. You know, they're talking about campaigns, things like that. And it's great because I think that campaigns are a lost art in the hobby now. I mean, I remember back in the day, we'd play phenomenal campaigns and we'd run phenomenal campaigns. But when's the last time a campaign was run that you really wanted to show up week after week?
Well, that's the problem, is nobody can show up week after week. There's those three guys, but they're the guys that you don't usually want as part of your campaign. Well, probably two of them. One of them is probably okay. But really, I mean, it's just like, you know, Ted. Ted's fine. But really, I mean, it's just like, you know, Craig and Todd are asshats. And it's – the campaigns can be fun, but I think that the interesting problem with campaigns is that campaigns really – at a minimum, can be competitive. At the maximum, need to be fun, entertaining, and varied. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of the problem with Warhammer 40,000 and kind of the way that people build their armies right now, primarily because of the price, primarily because of the community and the tournament scene. People aren't building these types of armies where you can run a campaign and say, like, right, for this campaign, you need to bring 4 different types of army lists where you've got a scouting army and you've got a this army, and you've got a that army, and this is what you're going to play with. You know, people are showing up with the exact same Dark Eldar list for every single aspect of the campaign, playing the exact same list over and over again. And they just feel like, well, what's the difference? Like, what's their, you know, like, what am I getting out of this other than just playing 40K games where, you know, every other Thursday I can't actually go into the shop and play, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm in a bad position or I'm getting destroyed and I lose the campaign because, you know, I had to go to a fucking dance recital. Whatever, right? Fucking bullshit.
Wow, you're into dance too? That's weird.
I have kids.
Oh, I know.
But really,
you know what? I get that, but honestly, I think it's the money. I think part of the reason you never see campaigns anymore is because of the money. Because like you said, the shit costs so much, they build their tournament list and they're done. They're not going to fuck around. Because I mean, fuck, when I started in the hobby, the average box of plastic infantry was $28. Now it's what, $45, $50?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost that. Doubled in cost. So I mean, I remember, again, back in the day, even as a university student, you know, I could always afford the odd, okay, I'm going to pick up another box of Dark Eldar Warriors, I'm going to paint them up, I'm going to try them out. Oh, that didn't work? Okay, well, next month when I get paid again, right, I will pick up this.
Yes, yes.
Now,
I was going to say the same thing.
You know, now everything costs so much money that it's just like, okay, I've dropped my... Because, I mean, you and I do it all the time when we're talking about doing new armies. I've dropped my $600. I now have a tournament-sized army, 2,000, you know, 1,800 points.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford anything else for this army. Well, I might tweak it here and there. I might do very little things. Maybe after the initial $600 and I've played it shit tons, I might buy another, like, $45 box set.
Right.
But that's kind of... People are less willing to try things out.
Well, and I think that the interesting thing is that from a new gamer standpoint, they are willing to try anything, you know, because they don't have the biggest grasp on the mechanics of the game. You know, they're not really playing specifically for kind of the strategic edge or power gaming or anything like that. They're just kind of playing with what seems good in their head. And they try this. It didn't work. Okay, now I'm going to go buy that. I'm going to try it. It didn't work because they haven't really grasped it now. I think that for the longtime gamers like you and I, you know, we can look at a fantasy army or a 40K army and say, like, right, I want these 10 units. One of those 10 is maybe a gamble. If that one flops, I'll buy one more unit. And that's as far as it goes. Because you're not trying to build this, I want to buy one of everything. Those times are dead. Nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah, you know what? But see, I don't even think new players are doing that anymore, because with the internet, new players jump onto Daka Daka, say, I'm doing guard, this is my first shot at the list, and then they get torn to shreds, and they get all of the, and they get the typical netlist du jour, and they're like, this is the best, these are all the reasons why it's the best, and so these new players that don't know any better just go out and buy it. So again, I mean, I think that
is the case to an extent. I don't necessarily
don't get me wrong. You might get players that aren't like that, but I mean, I think that for the most part, most adults approaching this hobby use the internet as a resource, which means all they do is get the netlist.
Right. But there are still people out there who, when I tell them that I do a podcast, go, a what? So, I mean, really, there is a certain number of people who get into this hobby and don't necessarily know that there's a website dedicated to fucking it up. You know, like, it's just...
That's for you, Bell of Lost Souls. Wow. That's for you.
Whatever. I love evil. But anyways, you know, but really, I mean, it's just like, I get it. I get it to an extent. They want to sell stuff, but it is kind of stupid to try to cram that into the book where it really is just not needed. Like you said, it's not a white dwarf. You know, give us the rules, give us the stuff. I could understand how somebody completely new to the hobby who happened to have $300 hanging out for a starter kit and a rule book and was looking through it said, oh, Spearhead, you say? That seems interesting. I would like to buy 10 more tanks and have a game. I wonder if anybody's playing Spearhead. Oh, well, I'll go into the store and ask around. And then they're just stuck with 12 Maris.
That's the thing, though, is, I mean, when you look at expansions, I think the only one that this doesn't apply to is Cities of Death. But when you look at expansions, they're all designed for the fucking jaded, you know, the long in the tooth fucks that have their armies already, because they're all designed to try to get people like us. I mean, even though people like us are addicts that are always buying more, but they're
but we're not trying to buy the good shit. We're like, give me the dime bag. You keep your funny named bullshit. All I want is the stuff that's going to get me high. That's all I'm looking for. Oh, that one's $5 and that one's $4. Give me the $4 bag. That's what I'm looking for. That's what it is. We buy it when we need it. We buy it in bulk and we resell it. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, other than that, I mean, like, when I saw Spearhead, I was just like, fuck no, I'm not buying 10 Carnifexes.
Oh, fuck it.
You gotta be fucking crazy. Oh, my God.
Somebody was trying to tell me, like, oh, man, you should get 4 more monoliths for your Necrons. I was just like, are you fucking retarded? All right.
The answer is yes. Yes, he is.
That's Jaded Gamer Cast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.